And so for those of you ladies that, and it could even be some ladies that are listening in on the radio right now, I don't look down on you because there's that desire in your heart to be liberated. Jesus came to liberate you. Jesus came to give you freedom. But listen, true freedom is only in Him. It's not found anywhere else. It's not found trying to gain some kind of supremacy to make up for the failures of men over the years. But true liberation in you and I is found in great humiliation or humbling before Jesus. That's really where it is.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. All that you've done for me.
It's the Tuesday edition of Abounding Grace, and we're blessed that you chose to join us. Today, Pastor Ed continues his series in the book of 1 Corinthians with the last segment of our message titled, Women Are Free to Serve. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 tells us, And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. God loves us. His mercy brought us salvation through the sacrifice of His Son on the cross. He is the creator of the universe, yet relates to us as His children rather than a creation. God is our judge, but also our liberator for both men and women. He is the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving designer and director of all the universe. Yet our Heavenly Father chose to love us, His wayward shorn lambs. Our text is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, so if possible, grab your Bible and follow along with Pastor Ed as our spirits are lifted in God's abounding grace.
But what makes them feel comfortable as they worship Jesus? What makes them more relatable to their culture? What makes their gathering more of a witness of unity and love? And in their culture, what speaks to their culture is women worship on one side and men worship on the other. And we accept that. I sit on the man side and worship and enjoy the presence of the Lord. Because really, truly, when you're in worship, you're not really looking around the room, are you? I hope not. It's like, well, you know, he only has his hand up three quarters. I wonder where his heart is. Or look at how there's, it's like you're caught up in the Lord and you're just enjoying the very presence of the Lord. It's not ever to be about. Are standing in judgment on others, but rather we can bring this in to be culturally powerful and speak to our culture a message of the hope of the gospel. Eastern society at the time of the first century was very jealous over its women. And except for the temple prostitutes, women generally wore long hair. And in public, they wore coverings of their heads. Respectfully, Paul didn't use the word veil here, a covering of the face, so that everything was covered and you couldn't see. The woman put a regular, like a prayer shawl over her head, a reminder of her responsibility toward the Lord. And so for Christian women in the early church, in the church in Corinth, for to appear in public without the covering, let alone pray or share the word, was both daring and even could cross the line of blasphemous considering the culture that they were in. Head coverings have none of those cultural meanings today for us in the day in which we live. They have no meaning whatsoever in that context. But back then, women, as you pray, as you prophesy, it's good that you cover your head. And then down in verse 7, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he's the image and the glory of God, but woman is the glory of man, and in the covering and not covering, it was speaking of God's divine order. It doesn't exist today. Unfortunately, some of you might have come or been involved in a church where these types of things, these legalistic types of things, are used, again, to suppress freedom, to suppress the freedom that you have, ladies, to worship the Lord. And you know, there are certain types of clothing, there are certain things that if we saw a man or a woman coming in here as the appearance of a prostitute, after assuring that they're saved and walking with the Lord, we may begin to speak to them about, you know, if a lady, we'd have one of the older ladies speak to them. If it was a guy, we'd have one of the guys speak to them, one of the elders, one of the deacons, even one of you, that says it might be more appropriate in the context of our worship not to draw attention to yourself with that kind of clothing. That you're drawing attention. Ladies, you're stumbling guys. And guys, you know, you come in with your big old chains and, you know, just all coming in and like, hey, it's, you're here to worship the Lord, not to draw attention to yourself. And whatever it might be. That's what's happening in Corinth. But it was deep rooted in the heart of the people. I've said this many times before, the reality of the kind of ministry that we're in, not everybody in the worship service is going to be dressed like you think they should be dressed. You might even leave, well, you know, that's not Christian clothing. Well, what is a Christian wear exactly? I didn't know that there was a rack at Sears. You know, Christians shop here, pagans shop here. And the reason why there's going to be a diversity of clothing is because there's a diversity of people. And maybe there is an opportunity for someone to understand and grow in their level of knowing what modesty is. And I love this down here at the end in verse 14. Some of you guys that like to wear your hair a little longer than what normally would be, you might find somebody go, "Yo, you got long hair, boy, cut your hair." And you go to like verse 14, and even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him. Don't you know you're being dishonorable? You're a hippie or whatever it might be. And what a subjective, isn't the word long a very subjective word? What is long exactly compared to what? We know the heart from Leviticus. God reveals to that the limitation between men and women is when men try to be like women. And that's the essence of their long hair. They're trying to pretend through their clothing, through their mannerisms, through their voice, through their hair perhaps, through putting makeup on, whatever it is, to live a life. They're a man, but they're trying to live the life of a woman. And in our society, friends, I don't need to explain that to you. It's pervasive. It's acceptable. It's celebrated in our society. And vice versa. In the level of a woman wanting to look like and attempting to look like a man, that's the limitation. Ladies be ladies. Men be men. And we're not going to walk around with a measurement and, you know, how's your hair doing? You know, a little long. And we have a hair cutting ministry back in the corner to make sure you're all right with the Lord. Paul's trying to bring back the church to a divine order. Just like he's trying to. That's the application for us. What is God's divine order in your life? God has established an order. And we do great error trying to mess with it. It's an order in verses 3 through 7, if you want to look at it later, it's an order based on redemption. In God's redemptive ministry, the Son was subject to the Father, even though He is equal with the Father. It's beautiful. In the same way, the woman is subject to the man, even as in Christ, she is fully equal to the man. Did you hear that? Submission doesn't speak of inequality, it speaks of order. And we do well when we submit. We all live lives of submission. There's peace and harmony. It's the way it is when you drive home. You're going to hope that the people on the road with you as you go home are living in submission. Let's just take it out of the church for a moment. You're going to hope that the same, those yellow lines that are going to be right down the middle of the road, you know, the one that you're hugging as you're driving home? You're going to hope the guy on the other end that's hugging them thinks and submits to them just like you're submitting to them. That they don't decide, well, you know, there's traffic, I think I'll pass the double yellow, I'll take my chances, out of lack of submission. And as they're taking their chances, that's when head-on collisions happen. So I'm hoping that people, I am going to submit to the laws of the road on the way home, I hope. As I look at the speed limit, as I look at the cars in front of me, as I look at the red lights, as I see the crossing traffic, as I see the lines that are, I have that desire on the way home to submit to the laws of the land. And my desire also is that the person around me, the other vehicles, are also submitting. That's when peace happens. When there's a lack of submission, when there are people on the road that don't like the double yellow lines, they don't like the speed limits, they want to race or they run through red lights, problems happen. And you know, with that same illustration, that's exactly what happens in the church. I know discomfort comes up when we start talking about submission. I don't want you to misunderstand me and that a pastor's here teaching from the pulpit, blind submission, everything Ed says or the leaders say, absolutely do that. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches mutual submission. That's when harmony happens. That we mutually are submissive to one another, and one another we're submissive to the Lord. There's order. God's design. When we mess with that, problems come. That's the point Paul is making here. That God's order in the church is based on two basics. Redemption, verses 3 through 7, and creation, verses 8 through 12. God's order is based on the fact that man was created first. And the woman was both created from the man, he said, and for the man. And priority never means inferiority. That's man twisting it. It happens in the church, it happens in our world. There's no dictation of submission, there's mutual submission. One more thing before we go. In verse 7, Paul says, really two more things. Well, maybe three, so let me build on this just for a second. So verse 7 first. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. I like that. Woman is the glory of man. Let's bring that into the marriage. Bring that into our marriage relationship. You could circle that word glory and you can write next to it if you have room in the margin. It literally means the outshining or the reflection. So with those words, we plug them back in. For the glory of God, but woman is the reflection or the outshining of man. And there's an application. For those of you that are married, grasp this, especially you husbands. You husbands, especially those that are upset right now with their wives or dissatisfied with where their wives are in their walk with the Lord. It's something to chew on. It's an interesting tidbit. I believe I first read about it when I was reading through John Corson's commentary, and I thought, wow, that's something really to chew on. Something to think through. Those that are disappointed, those that are struggling, those that think that the essence of the problem in the marriage is the wife. Listen carefully. If you're disappointed in your bride, upset or tired or whatever, just understand she's a reflection of you. Wow. That's powerful. She's a reflection of your walk. Now, Ladies, understand, you wives that are now and you future wives, this is not an excuse for your bad behavior. Well, I look so ugly right now because he's ugly, you know, and I, no. And I don't mean physical either, I mean spiritual. You know, if he just straightened out, I'd reflect better or whatever. No, that's not it. Is you're fully responsible for your decisions. We live in this atmosphere of blaming everybody for our... We become victims and it's all your fault. I would have never if you would have never. That's not what Paul's teaching here. But what he is teaching is that there is a reflection in that marriage relationship. There's a beauty that God wants to bring out in that marriage relationship. And as you're praying for your marriage, as you're praying for your wife, she reflects you in so many ways. And men, the best thing you could do in your home is to be the head of your home. That's the best thing you can do. To be the head, take the leadership that's already yours and lead your home, single, married, to fulfill God's order and role in your life. It's the best thing you can do. The worst thing you can do is not fulfill God's role in your life. The worst thing you can do is make excuses. The worst thing you can do is blame. The worst thing you can do is not in the power of the Holy Spirit, do what God's created you to do. In verse 8, it says, "For man is not from woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man." So you wives, you ladies, you're not in competition with your husbands. You're in a place of complementing, a place of completing. Every marriage I have the privilege of officiating, I mention that, not only to the couple, but also to everyone there, that marriage is an act of completion, not competition. There is no competition. There's no competition in the argument to win. What do you gain if you win the argument, but you lose a little of the relationship? What did you gain exactly? Maybe a little pride? Maybe a little one-up? And it never really leads to anything. It's not good. You're not at odds with one another. Your marriage, you may be surprised, it's not even a 50-50 proposition. Although that's very popular. Here it is, marriage, 50-50. It's not. God never, ever encourages you to be 50% of your marriage. You're 100% husband. You're 100% wife. And in that, you become complete. It's not 60-40, 30. It's 100% commitment. 100% commitment on both sides. It's beautiful. Because ladies, you get to that place where, you know, amen. You know, you're like the poor guy. Some of your husbands, you're like, your ribs are all bruised. You're like, yeah, I've been in this church for 5 years. I've been waiting for Pastor Ed to give it to him. Honey, that's you. And so on the other side, if there's a wife that like doesn't have a husband that wants to lead, I can just tell you, if you're a husband that doesn't lead, your wife is not only frustrated, but she's greatly sorrowful. And you might be in the midst of arguing right now that's not coming across, but her heart's breaking. She loves you. She cares about you. She's committed her life to you. And some of you have been together for so long, so many years, it's like they're just breaking inside. They might not be crying anymore because their heart's so hard of all those times you never led. But you can change that. You just step up and be the man. Be the lead. But wives, you can't just sit there and go, you know, I want my husband to pull his own weight. You know, God does too. God wants him to do his share. But I'll often open up in those kind of situations where in 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter actually hits it on the head. He says that even if some of your husbands don't obey the word, that you without a word might win your husband by the conduct of your life. And so it goes both ways. I know that sometimes disorder happens in the house too, because the attitude of the wife is, well, if he won't lead, I will. And you've disrupted the order. Certainly there are things you might have to take care of and you might have to step in. But wives, you never become the head of your home. And for you single moms, I know it's hard. You guys, you know, you're raising kids and you are like the head of the home. But God wants to come alongside and be the head for you. He, the Father, is the head of your home. And for those that are married, the Father, head of the home, Jesus, and then you and I. And there's a place for all of us. If you're not married right now, perhaps in the future God bring marriage, and this is the order that God has. You look at this and you get all stuck on, you know, a covering and not covering, shave your head, don't shave your head, you guys with long hair, you miss the whole point. The problem in Corinth was people were just not paying attention to God's order. It brought problems in the church, and Paul's addressing them. And it happened to do with praying and prophesying and the covering and the culture and all that context stuff. But what does that look like for us? God wants us to live in his divine order, because when we do, there's great power and purity in the church. And when we don't, the church runs rampant. And we need an apostle to write us a letter and say, Calvary Aurora, what's your problem? Where's the pastor? Where's the leaders? What's happened? And I'm sure if we ever had to get a letter like that, we would be greatly humbled. And God would just be calling us back. Well, we did get a letter like that, didn't we? It's called 1 Corinthians. The church today has gotten a letter that says, get back to my order. Live in my power. Surrender yourself to me. Stop getting caught up in all these little things that divide and bring great unity in the purity of the gospel. That's the place where the Shekinah glory of Jesus, he's just powerful in our lives. Because we know that this isn't an absolute for us. And you know how we know that? Because of verse 16. Paul leaves it out. He says, if anyone seems to be contentious, like if this is such a big deal for everyone, we have no such custom, no due to the churches of God. he basically says, this is what it is as it relates to covering your head. So, you know, here's my advice. Do what you think is going to be best for your community. Make the decisions that you think will be best in reaching the lost. So ladies, I think it's important for you to leave here just understanding the liberty and the freedom you have in Jesus, the value that you have, the important place you have in the plan and the purpose of God, how valuable your giftings are, how powerful they are when they flow through your lives, how God, He wants to use you. If you want to cover your head, cover your head. We're cool with that. If you don't want to cover your head, don't cover it. We're cool with that. As long as you're getting your direction from the Lord. So, well, I'm going to cover my head because I have to. Well, why do you have to? If you want to, that's different. But when you have to, and then, you know, okay, I have to, and then I want everyone else. I can't believe Calvary Chapel, they don't have head coverings when you walk in the door. Well, wait a minute. I didn't know that was a biblical teaching. No, it's just the tradition from my last church. Well, you can take every tradition here at Calvary, test it by the Word of God. You can take every tradition in another church that you might have been on and test it by the Word of God. And if we can all make an agreement to yield to the Word of God, then God's divine order will take in place and we'll be able to be free to reach this city with the gospel. That's really what matters, right? Your life touching another life in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the key. Father, we thank you as you give clarity on certain things, as you reveal to us the cultural issues that were going on in Corinth, the context of the passage, the summary of the passage, and even how it can relate to marriages, how it can relate to singles, how it can relate to church life, how, God, you would want order in our lives, you would want strength to come into your church through the power of your Spirit. You wouldn't want us lording over one another or taking advantage of one another. And truly, all this talk of head coverings and praying and prophesying, really, the essence is, what have we done with our sin? Covering our head won't remove our sin. Having long hair or short hair is not going to remove our sin. Dressing just the right way, whatever that is not going to remove our sin. Only a right relationship with you will forgive us and free us from our sin. And God, I'm thankful that you sent Jesus Christ into the world. The only offering of forgiveness available to man is found in your Son, Jesus. Because you loved us so much, you sent Jesus into the world. And through his life and his death, through the power of his resurrection and his life even now, you draw people to yourself. And by faith, you save. Whoever would call upon your name shall be saved.
You've been listening to Pastor Ed Taylor share from the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Corinthians with a lesson on women are free to serve Jesus here on Abounding Grace. The Word of God helps us to focus on His purpose for our lives, to serve Him and His Son Jesus, who was sent to take away our sin. Only His love can release us from the bondage of trying to serve man without first serving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His love helps us to fulfill God's promise and His plan for our lives. Join us tomorrow as Ed continues our series in 1 Corinthians as we look at communion with Jesus. That's coming up on the Wednesday edition of Abounding Grace. On our website, you can listen to this daily broadcast at your convenience 24 hours a day. By clicking on the multimedia link, you can have this program delivered to you through our podcasting feature. Or by jumping to the message archive page, you can listen to Pastor Ed's entire message via live streaming. Well, during the month of July, our special offer to those of you who make a financial donation to Abounding Grace is the book, Power of Prayer by E.M. Bounds. There's power through prayer. For many Christians, prayer is nothing special, just something we're supposed to do. But prayer should be so much more than an item on our to-do list. In the book, Power of Prayer by author E.M. Bounds, you'll discover how effective prayers can help you gain a deeper understanding of God's Word. If you're ready to unleash more power in your life, join E.M. Bounds on this prayer adventure. Again, Power of Prayer from E.M. Bounds is our way of saying thank you when you support this ministry with a financial gift during the month of July. Our address is Abounding Grace, Box 460-598, Aurora, Colorado 80046. Again, it's Abounding Grace, P.O. Box 460-598, Aurora, Colorado, 80046. You can also securely donate online at calvaryaurora.org. We pray that you've been blessed today, and we'll see you next time as you continue to walk in God's abounding grace.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I've seen before.
This program is presented by Calvary Chapel of Aurora.